You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 26th of April 2019, under sunny skies. And when I say sunny, I mean sunny. Isn't it amazing, Sam, when they're not spraying the chemtrails, how deep that sky gets, how deep blue? Yeah, we're breathing easy down here in Central Texas today. Well, at least for today. This was a little unnerving. Just about the time that Monsanto, or actually Bayer, that bought Monsanto, is, I lost one of my channels here, on my right ear. What the heck just happened? There we go. Okay, got it back. Pulled out my cord, I didn't even know I did. Give me some glue. Glue that in there. Monsanto... these glyphosates, we're understanding how bad this stuff really is. So what's Bayer do? Well, they buy them. The liability, it's not Monsanto that's paying this. It's the Bayer Corporation that they're just using the tag Monsanto. Folks, I remember the days that Monsanto just made carpets, for God's sakes. Well, this was a little unnerving. We'll be eating the first CRISPRed foods within 5 years, according to a geneticist who helped invent the blockbuster gene editing tool. Now, this gene editing tool called CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, can be used to make mushrooms that don't brown or strawberries with a longer shelf life. Hey! We were talking about this, by the way, a little off topic, but along the same lines, Sam and I were talking today. He went out to go buy some whole milk where I used to buy my whole milk from, and experienced, less than friendly reception. They thought he was a Fed or something. But anyhow, we can't buy down here. It's milking. It's whole milk. It's raw, but it's cooked a little bit, okay? So, yeah, it's in there destroying the enzymes and the good stuff in the milk. Yeah. And warning to you folks out there that are buying milk from the grocery stores and aren't really looking at the label, the ultra-pasteurized stuff that, you know, the stuff that's staying good in your refrigerator for 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time, yeah, that's ultra-pasteurized. And you're noticing what they're doing is, well, you know, it used to be, oh, it's vitamin D enriched. Well, no, it's enriched now with all the vitamins because guess what? They're cooking it so much, they're killing the milk. They're killing all the vitamins and the enzymes and the good stuff in the milk. Anyhow, back to this CRISPR thing. A geneticist at the University of California who helped invent the gene editing tool CRISPR told Business Insider she believes its most profound impacts will be on food. Several CRISPRed products have already been made, and although you can't buy them yet like you'd really want to, she said she expects to see them in grocery stores within 5 years. In Silicon Valley, some startups are even using the CRISPR to make lab-grown meat. I don't understand how that process takes place, but lab-grown meat don't sound good to me. The geneticist Jennifer Doudna was named to Business Insider's list of the 10 people transforming healthcare. While ethicists debate the applications of blockbuster gene editing tool CRISPR in human healthcare, an inventor of the tool believes it has more immediate application improving our food. And again, they reiterate, I think in the next 5 years, the most profound thing we'll see in terms of CRISPR's effect on people's everyday lives will be in the agricultural sector. And the aforementioned Jennifer Doudna said, the University of California, Berkeley geneticist who unearthed CRISPR in early experiments with bacteria in 2012, as related to Business Insider. Now, CRISPR has dozens of potential uses, from treating diseases like sickle cell to certain inherited forms of blindness. The tool recently made headlines when a scientist in China reportedly used it to edit the DNA of a pair of twin baby girls. Then, there are CRISPR practical applications, the kind of things we might expect to see in places like grocery stores and farmers' fields within a decade, according to Doudna. Yeah, we've seen what the farmers' fields have turned into. GMO factories. Thank you very much. And it's relatively cheap and easy to use. Gee, wasn't that the same argument they used for, Sam, what's the replacement for sugared stuff? Corn syrup. Oh, that's right. That has been discovered to do pretty bad things to the human body. But hey, that's relatively cheap too, isn't it? CRISPR's appeal in food is straightforward. It's cheaper and easier than the traditional breeding methods, including those that are used to make genetically modified crops, also known as GMOs currently. It's also much more precise. When traditional breeding methods hack away at a crop's genome with a dull blade, tools like CRISPR slice and reshape with scalpel-like precision. I don't even like the way that sounds. Want a mushroom that doesn't brown, a corn crop that yields more food per acre? Both already exist, though they haven't yet made it to the consumer's plates. Excuse me? Wait a minute, what the hell's a GMO if it hasn't made it to my plate? And in my body, and God knows what it's done to my body. What about a strawberry with longer shelf life or tomatoes that do a better job of staying on the vine? Tomatoes aren't supposed to stay on the vine. When they turn and they ripen, you pick them and you eat them. And that's when we used to use those old things called mason jars. Remember that? We used to can the tomatoes. Remember that? All natural. Didn't use fertilizers. You were out there in your little home garden, making the good stuff that you knew you could trust because you were growing it. Now, who knows what's being sprayed in the air? It's a little off topic here, but still funny it came to mind. Poor Steve Elkins, down in his undisclosed location down in God's waiting room in Florida. He likes fresh lettuce, and so what does he do? He builds a little box. It wasn't big. It was a couple of foot by maybe 2 foot by 4 foot, I think it was. And he was growing his own leaf lettuce because he likes it in his salads and on his sandwiches and stuff. Well, don't you know that the HOA police came around, found out, and this was abutted against a fence, and it was a farmer's pasture, or it used to be a farm. They've got horses on it now. But it was away out of view of anybody. But the little police, the HMO police, they walked into the property. He's only renting. He's not the owner. And I told him, I said, you know, as inconvenient as that is the owner that made the agreement with the HOA. So you really don't have a leg to stand on. You can give him some of your mind, but that's about all you can do. Well, he told me the little vegetable police were back yesterday. And he says, you know, and they weren't nice either. They weren't nice about this. And they gave him so many days of compliance. Otherwise, he'll be fined and blah, blah, blah. And they were really nasty about it. And he told them flat out. He said, look, if you would have been a little bit nicer about this, he said, I was going to comply because I understand that the rules of the property owner and all that stuff, and I'm not going to get in the way of the property owner. But if it would have been a little bit nicer, you people wouldn't have had to come back. And he says, I'm going to stretch this out to the minute with you people because you just ain't nice. Yeah. Lettuce in your box or tomatoes on a vine. Well, Dowden goes on to say, I think all of those things are coming relatively quickly. Work on crisp produce. It's hard to say CRISPR in plural. Crisp has been ongoing for about a half a decade. Now, it's only recently that U.S. regulators have created a viable path for the CRISPR products to come to the market. Back in 2016, researchers at Penn State used CRISPR to make mushrooms that don't brown. Last spring, gene editing startup Pairwise, and I'm not quite sure startup Pairwise what that is. Oh, that's a business, scored $125 million from the agricultural giant Monsanto to work on CRISPR produce with a goal of getting it to the grocery stores within a decade. Yeah, decade my eyeball. 5 years my eyeball. I wouldn't put them past them that they already have products on the shelves right now. Now, more recently, Silicon Valley startups have been experimenting using CRISPR to make lab-grown meat. The hell is Silicon Valley doing in the agricultural business? Memphis Meats, a startup with backing from notable figures like Bill Gates and Richard Branson. Well, there you go. That tells me a lot. That has made real chicken strips and meatball prototypes from animal cells and without killing any animals. Isn't that nice? They're giving you meat that isn't really meat. They don't have to kill any animals. You know, those cow farts, that cow flagellants, that was really a problem. That was eating away at our ozone. So, God, it's... I can't believe I'm talking about this stuff. Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here. Hey, Captain Kirk. Going to another part of the galaxy? Save me some space on Starship Enterprise. Now, U.S. regulators will likely allow CRISPR crops to come to market. Last spring, the U.S. Department of Agriculture issued a new ruling on crops that exempts many CRISPR-modified crops from the oversight that accompanies traditional GMOs. Isn't that special? Isn't that special? So long after the edited DNA on those crops could have been created using traditional breeding techniques, the CRISPR foods and goods are not subject to those additional regulatory steps, according to the agency. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just fantastic? With this approach, the USDA now seeks to allow innovation when there is no risk present. That's old Sonny Perdue, the Secretary of Agriculture over there. He said in a statement. Now, excuse me. The USDA that you're overseeing seeks to allow innovation when there's no risk present. How do you know if the testing's not done? If there is no risk present, you dingbat. Wonder how much money he got paid to push that one through. Let's check his tax statement. How much a windfall did this guy get for rubber stamping this one? Ken in Fort Worth. Hello, Ken.
Hey, tomorrow there's going to be a rally downtown Fort Worth, 2 to 5.
Okay, four?
For us.
Okay.
Anybody wants to go.
Okay, for us what, Ken?
Google setuptexas.org.
Okay, what is it? Set Up Texas?
Fed Up.
Fed Texas. Up. Fed Up Texas. Is there a website or something?
That's, you should be able to find it there. It's findable, I guess.
Well, you know, it'd be really nice. I hate to call you on the carpet here, Ken, but it'd be really nice if you would have done that research and gave me a website.
Well, fedup.org should find it.
Fedup fedup.org. You just said it was FedUpTexas. Which is it, fedup.org or FedUpTexas?
FedUpTexas.org.
Okay, there we go. Now we got it. Okay.
If you can hunt it while you take a little, break. And but anyway, it's going to be tomorrow, 2 to 5.
Okay, and what's the point of this demonstration?
Different speakers.
On what subject matter?
Politics.
Politics? Oh, yeah. You mean the exercise of these creatures that seek office, that they play the political football with the Constitution? Oh, them people?
Exactly.
All right.
And I'm going to go trolling for feds. They always stand around and look stupid.
Okay, well, just smile at them and buy them a Coke, okay?
Okay. Anyway, yeah, you group is going to be 2 to 5 in Fort Worth, downtown Fort Worth tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Okie dokie.
All righty, sir. I remember when, what was the guy's name? When he had his trial there and everybody came into the country. I'll think of his name here in a second. That owned Aeroplastics. I'm getting closer to the name that's now dead. We had people showing up to around the courthouse to protest, and what did they do? They called the feds in. I'd never seen so many black SUVs and police cars and unmarked and marked vehicles. They were all over like we were going to blow up the courthouse. And I kept asking these guys, I said, who the hell called you guys? I said, what do you think we're going to do, burn down the court building here? Jeez. 800-313-9443 is a call-in number. Everybody asleep out there today? Okay. Well, here's one that kind of caught my attention. I had posted it yesterday. And this came from Fox News, of all things, talking about being unconstitutional. Now, you've all had this happen, at least once or twice to you. Cops would mark your tires to see if your vehicle's moved within a 24 or 48-hour period, claiming that they could tow your car if they figured that it wasn't in constant use and you were just parking on the street or whatever the case may be. They used to mark the tires to see if you moved a car. Now, when I get my tires marked, the only thing I would do is return it to the original point. Really screwed him up. At any rate, marking tires to enforce parking rules is entering property without a search warrant. A federal court said Monday as it declared the practice unconstitutional in Michigan and three other states. Allison Taylor had received more than a dozen $15 tickets for exceeding the two-hour parking limit in Saginaw, Michigan. The city marks the tires with chalk to keep track of how long a vehicle is parked. What do they use? Different colors for different two-hour time spans? It doesn't say, but at any rate. Her lawyer argued that the parking patrol officer violated the Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches. A three-judge panel of the appeals court agreed. The purpose of marking tires was to raise revenue, not to protect the public against a safety risk. And this is according to the Sixth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The city does not demonstrate in law or logic that the need to deter drivers from exceeding the time permitted for parking before they have even done so is sufficient to justify a warrantless search under the community caretaker rationale, the court claimed. Yeah, isn't it funny what these courts will... What? Now, at the U.S. Supreme Court, this article was in The Atlantic. When the government places a location monitor on your stuff, it could be violating the Fourth Amendment. And this has to do with the GPS. If the government puts a GPS tracker on you, your car, or any of your personal effects, it counts as a search and is therefore protected by the Fourth Amendment. Now, what have they been doing with cell phones? If I have time here, I'll go back and find the article. Where the police were using the GPS and using people's cells to try to track criminals if they were in a certain area at a certain time when said crime took place, and they would just arrest people that they figured, this might be the guy. You know, they might be a half a dozen or a dozen or maybe a couple of dozen people. They'd go do a roundup and arrest everybody because they might have possibly done the crime. A little bit more on this. When we get back, 800-313-9443. Al, I'll take your call next. We'll be back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So it started out.
I see.
For God knows. It was really Dick Simcannon. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. When that trial took place, they tried to set that guy up. They brought a judge in and had already been disbarred for a short period of time and then put him back on the bench. That's the guy that handled the Dick Simcannon. And I was actually a witness, as a character witness in that trial. And I had the judge, not the prosecutor, I had the judge asking me questions. And I was up there for maybe a total of 5 minutes. And it didn't have anything to do with the questioning from the judges to the character of Dick Simcannon, which I knew to be pretty doggone true and correct. And when I did, when I stood up and walked off the little inquisition box, I just looked at the jury and shrugged my shoulders and shook my head. Judge didn't like that very much. Well, too bad, Judgy Wudgy. Truth is stranger than fiction. Al in West Virginia. Hello, Al.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I've got three comments on that marking the tires.
Yeah.
First one is, isn't that considered vandalism?
Well, defacing, I would say, it could be categorized as vandalism, I guess.
Secondly, that tells you who owns the car. The state does. That's where they can get away with it, and it's not vandalizing.
Mm-hmm.
third one is, shouldn't the state get the ticket then, since they own the car?
Shouldn't they what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Shouldn't the state get the ticket since they're the ones that own the car?
Well, remember Joyce Rosenwald when she hit a deer? The deer jumped out in front of her?
Sure
and,
do.
And she went to the state and said, hey, that was your doggone deer that caused the damage. That was the state's deer. You need to pay for my repairs. I'm not turning this over to my insurance company. And she did, and they paid it because she was right. It was their deer, and it was their car. You pay the damage.
Twice I hit some potholes out here on the road a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
which they're still bad, but now I'm a little bit more careful. But and the busted a tire and a wheel, and I sent the state a bill for that. Went to the state road office and complained to them. They gave me a form to fill out, and believe it or not, they paid for it.
Okay, the word's out, folks, because guess what? I just saw a story. I forget what city it was in, but people, they did a news blip on it. People were driving down the street at less than 5 miles an hour because some of these potholes would literally eat their vehicles. Well, the word's out. Al, you just ruined the state road commission's day.
Yeah. Well, the governor fired two or three of the state road, higher rank, bosses and this, that, and the other. He sent somebody out to driving around looking at these roads. They shouldn't have to drive too far, but anyhow, they took video of it and everything, brought it back to the governor. And he asked him, he said, well, what'd you do with all the money that we've given you for, to be taking care of these roads and so forth? And it was on the radio about this. And so anyhow, he fired, I think it was three of them. Two for sure, but I think it was three of them that was up there in the ranks of
Highways. Al, this was actually in West Virginia that the governor responded to this?
Yes.
I'll be doggone. So little
which kind of surprised me because I think he's a little bit on the happy side.
Well, but you know what? Homosexuals like smooth roads too, don't you know?
Yeah, I guess they do. But anyhow, I was glad that he did it and stood up and done it. So hopefully it'll keep getting better, but it won't. I mean, we know what's going on here with the feds and everything, but anyhow, I just wanted to throw that out there about the, about the marking of the cars.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Al.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, the road commissions aren't going to like this much. Al, you let the proverbial cat out of the pothole, so to speak, at any rate. Getting back to the story on the GPS tracker, the Supreme Court clarified and affirmed that the law on Monday when it ruled on Tory Dale Grady versus North Carolina before sending the case back to the state's high court. The court's short but unanimous opinion helps make sense of how the Fourth Amendment, which protects against unreasonable search and seizures, interacts with the expanding technological powers of the U.S. government. Now let me stop and digress here another second here because during the break Sam and I were discussing this. Remember me telling you, they're deplatforming people from Twitter and Facebook. And, okay, do you pay membership fees to them? No, you don't. It's free, isn't it? It's the corporation's property, and they can make any rule that they want to. And this is really what's not being talked about. You're having these phony baloney hearings with Mark Zuckerberg and all this other stuff. They know full well. These people, they're steeped in commerce. They know exactly what's going on. And they're not going to be able to force Mark Zuckerberg or the president of Twitter, whoever that twit is, not going to be able to touch them. Not going to be able to regulate it because why? It's a private corporation. They own it. You being a member doesn't have a damn thing to do with it. They can do with you whatever they want to do. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of all the ruthless soldiers, oh, I see the light and the heat. Oh, I wanna be that complete. I wanna touch.
I like your choice of bumper music. I used to get some weird stuff there. Huh? Yeah, I prefer your bumper selection. Well, yeah, but if it's put on automatic, before it can be put in automatic mode, you got to do the programming of it. I know, but so you're telling me this is just dumb luck and it's not your talent and my taste? Oh, well, black mark on your record. Anyhow, let's get back to the Supreme Court ruling on GPS stuff. It doesn't matter what the context is. If it doesn't matter whether it's a car or a person, putting that tracking device on a car or a person is a search, according to Jennifer Lynch, a senior staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, usually seen as the EFF. Now, in this case, that context was punishment. Grady was twice convicted as a sex offender. In 2013, North Carolina ordered that as a recidivist, I guess that's recidivism, He had to wear a GPS monitor at all times so that his location could be monitored. He challenged the court, saying the tracking device qualified as an unreasonable search. Now, wouldn't you know that the court would be... You ever notice the Supreme Court rulings and what cases they take the worst of the worst and then find the... Yeah, it always seems to go that way. Not some upstanding, unblemished person. No, 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 no. They take the worst of the worst. But at any rate, North Carolina's highest court at first ruled that the tracker was no search at all. It's that decision that the Supreme Court took aim at today, quoting the state's rationale and snarking. They actually used that term in the story. The only theory we discern is that the state system of non-consensual satellite-based monitoring does not entail a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. That theory is inconsistent with this court's precedents. All about their precedents. Then it lists a series of Supreme Court precedents, and there are a few, as the court has considered the Fourth Amendment quite a bit recently. In 2012, evidently not enough, because they're still tracking and tracing and listening to our phone calls, monitoring our emails, gathering the information from the smart appliances. Well, you get the idea. It ruled that placing a GPS tracker on a suspect's car without a warrant counted as an unreasonable search. The following year, it said that using drug-sniffing dogs around a suspect's front porch without a warrant and without their consent was also unreasonable, as it trespassed onto a person's property to gain information about them. Now, what it doesn't say in this story is the drug-sniffing dogs that supposedly give a positive sign to the officer that's searching your car. And what we discovered with this is there are signals that are almost imperceptible by somebody watching them that cues that dog. And here's the game that they play on that one. You get pulled over. They ask you, do you have any guns or drugs in the car? No, I don't. Well, you don't mind if a drug-sniffing dog, because they figured they were safe. Well, you don't mind if the drug-sniffing dog sniffs around your car, do you? And a lot of these cops, they had the little minuscule cues that they would give to the dog to make them react, as they claim was a positive, which gave them the right to search. Really? Now, as I said, the following year, the using drug-sniffing dogs around a suspect's front porch without a warrant, without their consent, adds trespass into property, person's property. Both of these cases involve suspects, but the ruling Monday made it clear that it extends to those convicted of crimes as well. And I would assume here, I know, assuming makes an ass out of me and you, I know. But I'm going to stretch this a little bit by forming my own opinion. So I guess that if you're a non-criminal, if this applies to criminals, then I guess if you're an upstanding, law-abiding citizen, it should certainly apply and cover you as well. You would think, but in today's world, don't be that sure. Now, Lynch, the EFF attorney, said that the justices seem to know that they'll soon have to rule on whether this kind of geolocation information is protected. She also said that these questions are more fraught for the court than the ones involving the GPS tracking data. Some members of the court, including Justice Anton Scalia, you know, the guy that just up and died very peacefully, yeah, argued that the Fourth Amendment turns on whether the government has trespassed on somebody's private property. Other members, represented in arguments by Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Samuel Alito, say that people have a reasonable expectation of privacy of their location data. Really, Sotomayor? Really, Alito? Well, I guess a busted clock is twice a day at least right, right? Now, for now, Monday's ruling will force lower courts to consider whether attaching a GPS tracker to someone or something is a reasonable search, Lynch said. It makes very clear to state courts and lower courts considering this issue that at least they have to get to that point. Now, North Carolina isn't alone in requiring past sex offenders to wear GPS tracking devices. Wisconsin also forces convicted sex offenders to wear location monitors for the rest of their lives. And Lynch said that the EFF is looking at similar cases in other states. In her opinion, lifelong GPS tracking does not constitute an unreasonable search. Her thinking, by the time that their monitored convicts have served their time and have theoretically repaid society for their crimes, they should have the opportunity to rebuild their lives and not be under the state government surveillance. You know, and as I'm considering this story, I'm thinking to myself, you know, as more permissiveness, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that pornography, that's protected free speech, they didn't entertain the idea that it might be destructive to the fabric of society or the family now, have they? And that we've got so many weirdo sex predators out there because what? If you ordered dirty magazines before the internet, they had to be delivered, and they usually came in a brown paper wrapper or something to disguise that you're buying girly magazines. Well, not anymore. You can go on the internet, get it whatever you want. And this feeds a sexual addiction to people. Is it any wonder that raincoat wearing rubber coat people are showing up in schoolyards or on the street corners? You know, I had to laugh, gosh, when the Pope came out with his statement. Well, you know, this predatory stuff and the priest and everything, that's because of the 60s. Yeah, Pope. Pope on a rope. Let me throw something at you to consider here. This has been going on with the Catholic Church for hundreds of years. I brought up the question one day, why is it that they don't allow Catholic priests to marry? Don't you think you'd have more heterosexual, normal people with families? I mean, I just love the priest who would give family advice that wouldn't know what a family advice he was giving. Because why? Because he wasn't a family man. He didn't have a family. So you're going to have a guy that's going to coach you on family relations that never had a family. And that was my question. Why did they preclude Catholic priests from joining in what we're here to do? Reproduce. Have babies, have grandchildren, you know, the normal stuff. Glenn in Kansas, you're up next. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, John. Things are going down the tube pretty fast. Pretty soon you're going to have people pounding on your door saying that they demand to date your dog. You don't know how far it's going to go.
Well,
but getting back to this deal, you know, about marking tires. Back a few years ago, my middle son lived in Chicago, and he had, oh, God forbid, that you ever live in Chicago and have a vehicle with an out-of-state tag. They are going to harass you. And they got this scam going where they kind of put an ad in the newspaper on Monday that they were going to prohibit parking on Sunday in certain areas, and so Sunday you get your car towed. And they got this scam going where this money making deal, and I was informed like about 24 hours in advance that they were going to auction my vehicle that my son had there, because I owned it. So I had to beat feet all the way from Kansas up there, and it cost me $400 to get the vehicle out of impound, and then plus another $500 in gas to trailer it and, you know, drag it back. But, I just got there just a few hours before they were going to put it up on auction. They move really fast. They don't want anybody to own anything.
Well, hey, look, Glenn, the state needs money, and they need it fast. So
the city of Chicago.
Well, but it's still registered with the state. It ain't registered with Chicago. It's registered with the state, and they own the damn thing anyhow.
Yeah, well, the state of Kansas owned it. That's it. The thing is, if you got plates that are from another state, boy, they target you.
So interstate and intrastate commerce, they guess they figured you were a high-priority victim. I'm sorry. A threat to...
Oh, yeah, they really go after you. And of course, you know, Chicago, they want to run everybody off. It's the working class, you know. And all they want is just people on welfare there. That's all they want. So, you know, people are leaving that state.
Do you know what? I wanted to bring something up because I'd forgot about it. I wanted to mention it earlier in the week. Rahm Emanuel lost the election as mayor of Chicago. And I saw
good deal.
Yeah, but I saw that as kind of like a byline off of another story. That really wasn't really put out there nationally that people in Chicago had had enough of Rahm Emanuel. I don't know what they plugged in his place, but hey, you know, we'll see.
Well, that's whole area is troubled anyway, and if it's time to get out while the getting's good. It's kind of like San Francisco, you know, they got human feces on the streets. Get out of there before the Black Plague comes.
Glenn, it's already there. That's all.
Yeah, well, the Black Plague. Yeah, well, the thing is that it's more unsanitary than the Dark Ages were.
Yeah.
So
I get it. California is you know, I chidingly say, you know, that we're going to build a wall. We need to build one that includes California as well, because
we're going to have to block off California. We're going to have to just give it back, except for Northern California.
Well, that's
those people are
Northern California.
They want to start their own state.
Glenn, this is why Massachusetts or Connecticut or whatever state it was. I think it was Massachusetts going after, you know, some city officials or a mayor or whatever it was. Because, well, she let the illegal slip out of the back door of the courthouse. And I'm thinking about this, why that case and why not California? Because here's the deal. These illegals, the illegal aliens, the invaders, not the little immigrants, hit California. What's to stop them from just jumping in their car and, you know, taking their 12 Mexican friends to Arizona or to Michigan or to any other state, any other location in this country? There is none. There's nothing that's stopping them.
There's nothing to stop them, man. And, you know, of course, myself, even though I despise the concept of implantable microchips, you know, maybe that's the only solution we got.
Well,
Glenn,
here again, national ID cards. Everybody should have a national ID.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, Glenn. Let me finish, please. Let me finish the sentence, will you? I like participation. I don't like being cut off any more than you do. Here's what I was going to say. You know, it comes a time when somebody mentioned, well, a national ID card. Well, that's one way we could vet these illegals. If they didn't pass the muster, or they broke the law, they wouldn't get a national ID card. You can see the logic behind that, but who in the hell wants a national ID card when you're a state citizen of a sovereign entity? You know, I mean, one way or another,
it's kind of like the old Bob Dylan song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody."
Not necessarily, because that's the logic that's being used for a lot of different reasons. It's a slippery slope. All right, hey.
It is, and we're going down the toilet. I better jump off here and give somebody else another chance.
Well, as a matter of fact, I got Al back from West Virginia, so you're going to yield to...
Oh, yeah, let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, so, thanks.
Thanks a lot. We'll catch you later.
Okay, thanks for your call, Glenn. Al in West Virginia, you had an experience with a canine. Boy, you get around, don't you?
Yes, very much. So I have a mechanic shop, and And here in West Virginia, you have to be certified. You have to inspect cars.
Right.
And you have to be certified to inspect them by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take a test and all that. And you have a big book, big thick book. And I pulled in the parts store, and the sheriff pulled in right beside of me. I noticed that his car windows, you couldn't see through them. It was so dark. And I said, well, we have a tent law here. You can only have a certain amount of tint on your windows. I said, hey, that looks like awful dark tint. I said, why don't you drop by down at the garage there, and I'll check with my tint meter, and we'll see if it passes inspection. He said, well, that's for the canines. That's what we use. It keeps them cool. I said, well, that's funny. I never read anything about that in the book. I've got the manual down there you could read. I said, it doesn't say anything about that in there that law officers or sheriffs or anybody else is exempt from any of these laws. He just smirked at me and got back in his car and left.
Yeah, if we do it, we're not breaking the law.
Yeah, right. That's just like them speeding. I mean, they're not breaking the law, but we are. But
Al, that just brought up something up. The other day, I posted a story of this cop putting four rounds through this guy's windshield because this cop feared for his life. He saw a taser on his front seat, and the kid didn't want to deal with the cops, and he had the tinted windows himself, and he rolled it up and started to drive away. Didn't intentionally try to run the cop over, but he said that was the reason why I fired the shots. And he had the dark tint as well. Yeah, for canines, all these cars have air conditioners in them, and whether they're light tinted, dark tinted, if you got the windows up, it's going to be hard on the puppies and hard on the cops and hard on the people that they're revenuing that got in the back seat of their car. Thanks for your call, Al.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ken.
Hi, John.
Hi.
That case up in Massachusetts, it's, the woman's name is Shelley M. Richard,
Richmond Joseph, and she is the judge, and they describe a former trial court officer who were indicted on one count of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, aiding and abetting, and McGregor, the former trial court officer, has one count of perjury against them. It's like somebody let loose the dogs of war.
Well, but here again, I'll ask the question again, and it's rhetorical because I can't even fathom somebody giving me an answer. Why in Massachusetts, and why aren't they doing this in California, one of the biggest offenders, or why not in New York City?
I don't have an answer for that, but it's entirely possible that maybe a specific order never goes out, but perhaps somebody just has the sense that it's okay to do it. And maybe somebody just wanted to be the first one to do it.
Or maybe that they're using this for precedence, and if it works for Massachusetts, it'll work for California? I don't know. All right.
Also, I have a solution for the fence problem. It seems like the Hungarians are getting more of a bang for the buck than anybody else right now with electrified razor wire.
You've noticed.
I would suggest a fence that goes from the Rio Grande up to California, makes a 90-degree turn, and then goes up north, and then makes another left turn to go out to the coast.
Well, we're going to run into a problem if we take on the, we're going to run into a problem if we take on the Green New Deal here. Where are we going to get that electricity from? Because they want to shut down the nuclear reactors and they want to quit burning fossil fuels, and I'm sure probably natural gas as well. Who knows? All right, hey Ken, thank you for your call,
good
sir. Good night, Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel.
Oh, hello there. I just wanted to remind your listeners that as a Canadian, if I can donate to RBN to help exercise your First Amendment, then you certainly can. And if you can't donate financially, you can also maybe help spread RBN on social media, maybe get what really happened, share links to that.
Yeah.
There's so many good, like your guests lately, like, I don't know, in the past year, Christopher Boleyn, Dr. Kevin Barrett, Harley Schlanger, Vincent Finelli. I mean, these are, you don't get this anywhere else. And, you know, if I'm able to donate, and my wife had a baby recently, we don't have a lot of money, but we do what we can. I'm thinking, like, you know, some of these guys got to get off their butt and get on the blower and donate some money. So I just thought I'd leave you with that.
Well, I appreciate the sentiments there, Daniel. You didn't get your baby vaccinated, did you?
No way.
Okay, and where did you learn? Where did you learn the information as not to do that?
Probably from people like yourself. You know, people like like Mike Rivero and so forth. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Daniel,
I appreciate it.
I appreciate the sentiment, and thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. What a wonderful way to end up on a Friday here, under sunny skies, deep blue skies, no chemtrails. Taking an easy, deep breath, at least for right now. Support the network, folks. Please. Make up your mind to make a monthly donation. It's easy to do. Go to our website, Republic. He wants me to go to his website? Yes. RepublicBroadcasting.org. There's that donate button on that little red banner. Because you can handle the truth moniker. Real news, real talk, and real people. Hit that donate button. Donate. Make a one-time donation, make it a good one. Or sign up for $50 if you can afford it, $100 if you can afford it. Folks, we're in a fight. We need the ammunition to fire at our enemy before they totally consume us. We'll see you Monday. Thanks for being here today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.